symbol for choking. Please inform all of the people in your department. And the old symbol is here, and it's got the guy holding on to his neck.
Right.
And, of course, the new symbol is the Yankees logo. I don't think that was that good.
Well,
you thought that was good?
I thought it was good, yeah. Kind of.
No, I actually had another one.
Okay.
A better one? Well, yeah.
You don't want to use the one that I left for you?
No.
Okay.
No. But where's the...
Would you have used it if Michael Powell wasn't coming in at 9:30?
I don't know.
Huh.
He's coming in earlier, I think.
Oh, is he? Okay. Well,
yeah.
You better not use it then.
No, it had to do with the fact that the president, you got to give the man credit.
Yeah.
The president said that he has actually reduced or will be reducing the number of terrorists who are actually in the United States.
And how is he doing that?
Well, because some of them will die from the flu.
Oh, jeez.
Good morning, Ron Owens, Monday to Friday, 9 up until noon. It is strange around here. It really is. We have had presidents of the United States,
yeah.
And it's been different. He's on the way up. I mean, that's why he's on the way up.
He's on the way up.
We've had presidents of the United States who have been on this program, and there hasn't been the same level of apprehension and concern. Our guest is Michael Powell. Michael Powell is the head of the FCC. The FCC licenses all the radio and TV stations. So I guess all the Disney suits are saying, oh, my God, Ron's not going to say to his face some of the things that he said behind his back.
Right.
And my audience is saying, he better say it to his face.
Right.
So I will. Anyway, Michael Powell will be here in a couple of minutes. He said he's not going to take calls. I'll still try and push him. You know, we'll do our best. But we've got enough to talk about. In the 10 o'clock hour, the chairman of the Republican and the chairman of the Democratic parties, both here in the studio. They'll go back and forth.
Wait a second. Why wouldn't he want to take telephone calls?
I don't know. But that
I just was walking away. You say, Michael,
he said
the head of the FCC,
the head of the
take...
FCC said he didn't want to take calls. And what I don't get is, you know, I'm going to ask tougher questions. Well, not really. The audience would be pretty good, too.
Well, yeah, but if I mean, he can defend himself.
I got even money says he'll take calls by the end of the show.
I think he probably
will. You know, I'll shame him into it.
You can do him a sleep train commercial, too.
I hope he... Do we have a sleep train commercial? I'd love to have him do one. Do we have a sleep train spot? That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Anyway. Yeah. This is so weird.
Tell him he couldn't run more than 60 seconds unless he logs it.
Everybody around here is so strange. Aren't you glad you're part of this? 808-0810 is our telephone number, by the way. Ostensibly, he's on his way up, but should he not be here by the end of the first stop set? How's that for broadcast talk? Should he not be here by that time? Well, then I'll take a call or two from you, and you can ask the tough questions. I'll write them down. I'll ask them. I'm Ron Owens. This is KGO. It's 908. It's 9:11, a look at traffic. Good morning, Lynn Durling.
Hey, Ron, good morning. We still have a lot of trouble for the trip coming into San Francisco from the East Bay, and it all started with that heavy storm very early and flooding on 101 South near Paul Avenue. They've been trying to scrape things together and clear it out, but it backed up traffic on 101 South, the westbound Skyway, the westbound Bay Bridge, and just crossing the Bay Bridge, the estimated travel time in from the maze is between 45 minutes and 1 hour. 280, a lot of people shifted over the drive toward Daly City from the Ingleside District, and that was exceptionally crowded heading into San Bruno toward 380. In fact, we had a solid backup on 280 South from the Ingleside District right on past Serramonte Boulevard. And the north side of 101, getting to the Bay Bridge has been tough because of a stalled big rig for quite a while at the San Francisco Anchorage in the right lane. To the East Bay, it was a truck accident. 880 in San Leandro, southbound at Marina Boulevard, still there. That jammed up the South Nimitz from High Street. Northbound, one of our traffic patrollers reporting from South Hayward and Union City, about 45 minutes getting up toward Marina and Davis. In Fremont, they had signals out for a while on Mission Boulevard South at Warm Springs, and that added to congestion on 680 from Pleasanton. And just double-checking the CHP Communications website, it looks like the South Bay, despite the heavy, no new accidents to report. Bay Area's best traffic coverage. I'm Lynn Durling, KGO Radio News.
Yeah, I heard I'd be disarmed. Sure enough. Michael Powell is the head of the FCC. And I know from Leo Laporte, he's a gadget freak, so the first thing we're doing is comparing the latest in gadgets. I'm sorry, I like mine better. I mean, yours is good, and I'm a big BlackBerry guy.
Well, that's
like
just the device
better.
Of the week.
Okay. Michael Powell is the head of the Federal Communications Commission. First of all, do I get a blanket okay for this entire hour? No matter what we say, you're not going to yank the license of this radio station.
You're good to go. This is a license-free zone.
License-free from that.
License waiver.
No matter what
zone.
I ask.
No matter what.
Okay. I've dumped on you because I've been in this business 37 years. I've been here for 29 years. And we know what to say on the air. We know what words to use, what not to use. And I get this memo from ABC. All of a sudden, here are words that we're not supposed to say. All of this relating back to the Super Bowl and Janet Jackson. And I'm thinking, what is this, the age of Victoria? What's going on here?
Well, I don't think it's the age of Victoria, but and I would say that I think the vast majority of broadcasters are incredibly responsible with their public interest obligations. I don't think that it's uniformly the case that we have a problem in radio or television. But I do think that since 1927, the United States American people have said to Congress that they do want some limits on the public airwaves. Broadcasting is a limited type of medium that uses public spectrum provided to producers for free. And in exchange for that, there's certain commitment to public interest obligations. The public decided, I think through legislation, that they wanted some limits on indecent speech on television and radio. And the Congress has passed those laws and required the Federal Communications Commission the duty to enforce those laws.
But there's no way to enforce it, Michael. How do you go around enforcing something like that? I mean, obviously, it's going to be unequal enforcement.
I think one of the things you said is important. We don't go around enforcing it. We don't want to be the Federal Bureau of Indecency.
I can say whatever I want until 10 o'clock, so that's
right.
Okay.
But what we do is it's an important point. We only respond to consumer complaints. You mentioned Janet Jackson. You know, there were 540,000 complaints from the American people, the Federal Communication Commission on that. Now, we can sort of indict the mores of the public on those concerns, but I think as a government agency charged with the responsibility of enforcing it, we can't turn a deaf ear to that many American citizens who complain.
The irony of that, though, is, I mean, if there was anything wrong with it, it was the violent ripping off of the bra. To me, that was a hell of a lot more offensive than seeing her nipple.
I think one of the important limits on our indecency rules is they're very carefully curtailed. They're only about very specific kinds of conduct and activity. It has to be sort of sexual or excretory in nature. I think it has to be pandering and titillating in the sexual sense. These aren't standards we created at the FCC. These are standards that the Supreme Court has held constitute enforceable indecency. And I think it is useful and important that our authority is limited in that regard.
Okay, let me give an example. And again, I've got your absolute okay. A word can come out and you're not going to yank our license. Deal?
Deal.
We made the deal. All right, okay. Just this Friday, we're talking about the war in Iraq. I had a gentleman who called up. The gentleman is talking about how his family had five generations of Marines. His son is over in Iraq, or is being sent over in Iraq. He's a Marine, signed up. He said, I don't understand what's going on. Why does my son have to potentially lose his life over this bullshit? And I had to stop and decide real fast, do I let that word out or not? This was a word spoken in passion. This is a guy who's got five generations. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I'm in this Orwellian zone. I let it go through because I figured you'd be on and you'd give me an okay. But honestly, what do you do with something like that? Do I have to analyze every word? I'm doing a talk show. It's spontaneous. What do you do?
Yeah, I think we can also exaggerate what the rules actually provide. I mean, what the federal statute says is indecency or profanity. The problem is profanity is a relatively ambiguous term, and regrettably, that means that there's a whole host of, must be hundreds, thousands, and millions of words that one could have a dispute about whether they fall in that category. But to be perfectly clear, I mean, the FCC has, in essence, prosecuted the use of only a single word to date. And that word, I think, if you think anything is profane, I think you would have to admit that that would be the word that was.
The F or the C?
The F word.
Okay.
That's not to suggest that there wouldn't be other profane utterances that would potentially violate the statute. But I think that we are much more conservative and careful in trying to balance the interests of speech and the situations you describe. We've dismissed as five times as many complaints as we've acted on for similar sets of concerns.
That was one of my beepers.
It must be. That must be your sensor beeper.
I have no idea. If you were doing the talk show on Friday, would you have let it through?
Oh, I can't say. I mean, that's the editorial judgment of the broadcast.
Yeah, but I mean, here's five generations, Marine, kid going over there.
Well, what I would say is I think that you have correctly postulated the most uncomfortable case, which is the coverage of live news in which individual people being covered have an utterance, and suddenly that's coming over the air. And I do think that that's the area that I would urge my commission and everyone else to be most careful about in its enforcement.
Now, I had heard you do not want to take phone calls. I will try my best to talk you out of that before the end of the hour, because there's no reason you shouldn't talk to people. But in its stead, I've got emails.
Oh, we're happy to hear from the
public. You're okay with phone calls?
Well, we can take one or two. Just let's
why
get
one or
some
two?
Material.
Talk to the people.
We're happy to talk
okay.
to the people. Okay.
808-0810 is our telephone number. Michael Powell will talk. Here are a couple that came in. This is from Kyle.
Yeah.
Why is Oprah allowed to talk about tossed salads and anal sex without fear of fines or censorship?
She's not. This is a complaint that people make. You can always find another example of something and suggest, well, when are you going to act on that? I mean, we do have complaints about Oprah that we haven't, to my knowledge today, ruled on. But we are endeavoring to have...
She's like the president. Nobody's going to dump on her.
I wouldn't say that. I
oh,
mean,
come on.
I think the duty and the obligation of the commission is to enforce fairly and without regard to the notoriety of the particular personality.
Well, this one comes from Helen, who says, yeah, but how do you justify Jerry Springer, Maury, and some commercials on TV? And the commercials, I mean, like commercials during the Super Bowl, risque.
One thing is that some of it is authority. The FCC doesn't have authority over the regulation of content of commercials, number one. So whatever I happen to think about them, that's not generally within our purview. Secondly, we don't make an attempt. We're not validating particular kinds of programming. I don't validate Jerry Springer. I don't validate any performer and what they do. Our role is very, very limited. We take complaints on a statute that is very, very limited, and we evaluate only complaints. And we make an assessment about whether under the law and our precedent that constitutes a violation. We do not generally roam around the country making judgments about media and the content of that.
Explain something else. In doing some work for the show, you were appointed by Clinton. I mean, people think, well, Bush put you in there. Clinton put you in there. Was that because it was a, quote, Republican seat? Is that the way
that works?
Yeah,
there's a Republican seat, and but the president gets to nominate all of the seats. And so
he looks
Republican.
For the most Democratic Republican?
I don't know. It's up to the president. They do it in consultation with the members of the other party in the Hill. In my case, President Clinton had known me. He had met me, and I was the choice of some of the Republicans on the Hill, particularly Senator McCain, and he appointed me to the seat. And then when President Bush became chairman, became president, he made me chairman in 2001.
Since I'm going to continue to be tough from now up until 10 o'clock, let me say one thing
yes.
that you and I know will agree on. Given a bottom line choice, Bush, Kerry, or your dad, I'd go for your dad in a heartbeat. 808-0810, that's the telephone number. Michael Powell, head of the FCC. I'm Ron Owens. This is KGO.
Nine 9:25, Ron Owens and the chairman of the FCC, Michael Powell. Before going to the phones, here's a question. This whole Sinclair business.
Yeah.
Here you have, and let me try and encapsulate it, a major broadcasting company. They have, what, like 60, 65 stations?
Yeah.
And they order all their stations to play this documentary, which is totally anti-Kerry. Yes, they backed down, a lot of public pressure, all of that. But you initially said that's their right.
Yeah, to be clear, what I said is there is no basis for the government to engage in the prior restraint of speech. And there were some who were getting to the point of suggesting that the commission should use its authority to actually ban the airing of the program in advance.
Yeah, people in Congress were urging you to do that.
Well, there are different letters and different tones, but I think the clear suggestion was an effort to stop the program from being aired. And I think an American diversity of marketplace of ideas, and I think under the Constitution, one of the most hideous things government can do is get into the business of prior restraint of speech. Now, if the program airs and it in some ways implicates federal law, then that's one thing. But I don't think the suggestion that something shouldn't have the opportunity. We were talking about indecency a minute ago. We don't make any effort, for example, to prevent in advance anything from going over the air. We let that be a private editorial judgment. It may have consequences, but we don't engage in prior restraint of speech.
So you're saying if Sinclair or some other major broadcast company said, we're going to We're going to do Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11 the day before the election. No problem.
Well, not under communications law, no. Indeed, the statute written in 1934 has a provision in it that expressly forbids the commission from engaging in censorship, which has been interpreted to mean prior restraint of speech. The Supreme Court has been ruthless in holding government to that standard because the suggestion that we need to stay cognizant of, we are the government, and we have a vested interest, often particularly in a political environment, on outcomes. And to allow the political process or the governmental process to get involved in arguably politically oriented speech and try to ban its airing, I think is the very thing Thomas Jefferson would turn over in his grave on.
All right, put on the headset, since after all, you are the government and you are the people. Michael Powell is here. I knew there wouldn't be a chance that you'd go through this without taking calls. Why wouldn't you? In San Jose, Bill, Michael, Ron, KGO, good morning.
Yes,
morning.
I wanted to ask your guest, when is the decision going to be made? Are they going to continue to sell all the radio stations to these big, huge conglomerates, or will they eventually make a decision where they're going to sort of break it up a little bit? Because it seems pretty scary to think that one huge group, says like the Murdochs and those people, would own all these stations. When the reality is, if they broke it up a little bit, it would be a little bit of opinion. And I wanted to throw one other point in. Does your guest think that he would have got his job without any political influence, say, through his father?
Well, both fair questions. I think on your first point about radio, the commission has grown more concerned, particularly in the radio area, of concentration. You know, even in the very controversial media ownership
rules. It's about time. There are four companies now.
Yeah, well, there's more. There's 13,000 radio stations.
Yeah, but, I mean, when I started in this business, you'd be in a market like Philadelphia, and there'd be like 80 stations, each one owned by somebody else. Here, you've got Disney. You got Disney. You got Infinity. You got Clear Channel. Intercom, maybe. I mean, by and large, it's all concentrated in a few companies.
Well, I would share the concern, but I would challenge you on the facts. I mean, we have the facts, which I don't have right here with me, but there are thousands of independent owners of radio stations.
Oh, I'm sure there are in a tiny little town in Arkansas.
To the citizens of that town, that's significant. And I think to a lot of markets. And the irony is where the biggest ownership conglomerates are, which again, we can see the concern, are often in the largest, most diverse markets. Yes, in Los Angeles and Chicago and in Washington and New York. But I don't think that there's a very serious argument. There isn't a lot of opportunity, choice, and competition in New York City. But I want to make the point that I started out for your caller, which was we actually tightened the radio ownership rules after Congress loosened them in 96 in the last round. It's not usually widely reported, but we actually tightened up the rule, and it would limit the number of stations compared to the way it was before.
The question I would ask, and it takes us away from talk radio, but music, is if you have a major company, let's use Clear Channel as an example.
Yep.
And here's this company that pretty much has playlists for everybody, for all of their stations. Yep. So they have way too much power in deciding what your kids and my kids are listening to.
Yeah, that's certainly a view. And I think it's important, though, to note, you know, Clear Channel is a good example, but it has over 1,000 radio stations. But the next largest group in the United States has about 250. So Clear Channel, in many ways, is a case unto itself. But the real issue is, where do you want the government to draw the lines? It's much more complicated than it would seem, because some of those issues are legitimate issues in the evolution of the medium. But whether you want the government to try to manage the medium into an ideal that you most prefer is difficult. Because the other problem is we're big fans of diversity and choices, but it also has to be economically sound. And the industry is under enormous pressure as the media environment becomes more fragmented. This is really the problem. The vast majority of Americans now have multiple choices for media sources and entertainment. The radio industry is down dramatically in terms of its financial status right now in the markets. We cannot care about this, but the government is also not going to financially subsidize the medium. And so the medium needs to remain economically viable and try to achieve these goals. And that's an interesting and difficult balance.
I believe he had a second question.
He had a second question. I'd like to believe, I do believe that, you know, I had a long career before I got this job, and I think my credentials led me to this position. I'm more proud of my father than anyone else. I'm blessed to have learned the commitment to public service from a great individual. I can tell you my father has had a long-standing rule that he has never picked up the phone and asked somebody to hire me, and I've never picked up the phone and asked anybody to hire him, as if he would need it. We're trained as Army children to make your own way, to work hard, to develop your own skills and your own interests. He doesn't know anything about my field, and I only know a little bit about his.
808-0810, by the way, just Michael, you and me. He doesn't go along with Bush on that stuff. He's way too smart for that. 808-0810 is our telephone number. Let's get the latest in news. Here's Chris Bretcher.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. This morning, storm caused the roof to collapse at a medical dental building in Concord. No injuries reported there. It's caused power outages to the largest 6,700 customers in Santa Cruz County. There are about 2,000 customers in northern Marin still without power, but they should have it restored by about 3 o'clock this afternoon. The Richmond man, who yesterday was called a suspect in the death of his girlfriend's baby, now is called a witness only. Police won't say why they changed their minds. 2 p.m. today is the deadline for San Francisco hotels and their locked-out workers to tell the mayor whether they accept his offer of a 90-day cooling-off period. If the hotels do not accept, Newsom says he'll join the pickets and perhaps cut back street cleaning and other services to the hotels. The FCC today gave the okay to a merger of Singular Wireless and AT&T, creating the largest wireless phone company in the U.S., and the National Transportation Safety Board ruled today that the crash of an American Airlines flight just after takeoff from New York in November 2001 was due to pilot error. Now the Bay Area's best traffic coverage. Here's Dale Alexander.
A lot of stuff going on in San Leandro, southbound at 80 at Marina Boulevard. We have an injury crash involving an overturned vehicle blocking the two right lanes. Crews are offloading the cargo, which is a lot of milk. Traffic's backed up from almost High Street in Oakland. Northbound 880 is backed up into Hayward. Big rigs are being allowed to use eastbound 580 to get around that. San Francisco southbound 101 before Paul Avenue. Flooding in the lanes, major delays. The right lane's closed. Traffic is backed up onto the lower deck, the Bay Bridge. Northbound 101 is heavy and slow from Monster Park onto eastbound 80, the lower deck of the bridge, also because of earlier problems. Dumbarton Bridge westbound after the toll plaza, a two-vehicle crash in the two left lanes. San Lorenzo northbound 880 before Hesperian, an accident on the shoulder involving four vehicles. Eastbound 580 at 150 at the six-vehicle crash moved onto the shoulder. Fremont westbound Mallory Avenue at 880, a solo spin out in the mud. In Woodside, northbound 101 at Woodside Road, a six-car crash in the left lane. Milpitas, Montague Expressway at Milpitas Boulevard, an accident in the left lane. In the Santa Cruz Mountains, southbound 17 at the Glenwood Cutoff, a solo spin out across both lanes. This report is brought to you by Chevy. Do you have the right truck? Chevy offers more crew cabs than anyone else, like Avalanche Colorado and a full range of Silverado light and heavy-duty crews. That's why Chevrolet is the right truck. With the Bay Area's best traffic coverage, I'm Gail Alexander, KGO Radio News.
The KGO Lloyd Lindsay Young weather forecast says the worst of the rain is over, but we'll still have occasional showers, maybe some hail and some strong winds, highs in the low 60s. Right now, San Jose at 52 degrees, San Francisco 54, and on your radio it's 810. News Talk 810. I'm Chris Bretcher, KGO Radio News.
The KGO Morning News has won the Edward R. Murrow Award as best morning newscast in the country. Ed Baxter comments.
There is no.
And now the KGO Morning News with Ed Baxter and Jennifer Jones has been rated the number one radio newscast in the Bay Area. Ed Baxter comments.
Well, obviously
the KGO Morning News with Ed Baxter,
you
and Jennifer Jones.
Shocking! We never saw that one coming.
Weekdays beginning at 5 a.m.
He's
on KGO.
I should rephrase.
News Talk 810.
938, Ron Owens, Michael Powell. Mark says go to the live line. Live line, Ron Owens. KGO, good morning.
Ron, hi.
Is this who I think it is?
Yeah, you know, hi. And I want to say hi to the commissioner who, a friend of mine told me the commissioner was going to be on your show.
Hang on a second. Let me explain. This is Howard Stern, and it's the first time I've talked to Howard Stern. Go ahead.
No, the commissioner has fined me millions of dollars for things that I've said and consistently avoids me and avoids answering my questions, and I'm wondering how long he'll stay on the phone with me.
Well, go ahead and ask a question.
Well, okay. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hi, Howard. How are you?
Okay. Does it make you nervous to talk to me?
It does not.
All right. So
made me nervous to talk to him.
Well, I've got about a 10 zillion questions for you because you honestly are an enigma to me. The first question being, how did you get your job? It is apparent to most of us in broadcasting that your father got you your job. And you kind of sit there and you're the judge, you're the arbiter, you're the one who tells us what we can and can't say on the air. And yet, I really don't even think you're qualified to be the head of the commission. Do you deny that your father got you this job?
Oh, I would deny it exceedingly. You can look at my resume if you want, Howard. I'm not ashamed of it, and I think it justifies my existence. I was chief of staff of the antitrust division. I'm an attorney. I was a clerk on the court of the United States. I was a private attorney. I have the same credentials that virtually anyone who sits in my position does. And I think it's a little unfair that just because I happen to have a famous father and other public officials don't, that you make an assumption that that's the only basis on which I serve in my position.
Caller asked that question already. Give him another tough one.
Well, so out of all the people that sit on the commission, you were moved to the head of the class. I don't buy your explanation, but okay. You know, the thing that amazes me about you is you continually fine me, but you're afraid to go to court with me, and I'll explain myself if you give me a second. Fine after fine came, and we tried to go to court with you to find out about obscenity and what your line was and whether our show was indecent, which I don't think it is. And you do something really sneaky behind the scenes. You continue to block Viacom from buying new stations. Until we pay those fines, you are afraid to go to court. You're afraid to get a ruling time and time again. When will you allow this to go to court and stop practicing your form of racketeering that you do by making stations pay up or you hold back their license renewal?
First of all, that's flatly false. I'm afraid it is. I mean, there is no reason why Viacom or any other company who feels that they have been wrongly fined can't sue us in court. We have no basis whatsoever to prevent them from going to court.
I lived through your fines, Michael, and Mel Karmazin came to me one day and said, listen, Howard, we're going to have to pay up some sort of cockamamie bunch of fines that we don't believe are wrong because we can't get our paperwork done. We're finding it increasingly difficult to buy radio stations. I know you're not telling the truth, and I question why you are selected to be the one who is the FCC commissioner.
Let me throw something in.
You know, I'm going to Sirius Satellite Radio. And
that's what I was just going to ask. Now, hang on, Howard. That's the question I was going to ask. So now he's going to go to satellite. One of the things that I read is that there are people who are saying that cable TV, satellite radio, that ought to fall under the aegis of the FCC, that content there.
Nobody's saying that.
And I mean, if that happens, I mean, if I'm paying money to see something.
It's not going to happen. Michael knows that. This is this guise of the public airwaves. Michael's a Republican. He knows that the marketplace.
Wait a minute. Didn't you get appointed? Weren't you appointed by Clinton?
Yes. And by the way, I mean, I think.
Yeah, No. He was appointed the head of the FCC by George W. Bush.
Right. And, you know, Howard, the only thing I would ask if we're going to be fair is that the commitment to the indecency provisions is not Republican or Democrat. I have Democratic colleagues on my commission that argue for license revocation. Well, if you want me to answer, let me answer. You know, the Congress just debated indecency fines in the United States Congress. It passed the Senate 99-1. They're not 99 Republicans and one Democrat. It was bipartisan. I mean, I think you have a right to be concerned about the way the indecency fines are done. But rather than attack me personally, you can challenge the regime. But the entire commission has voted on those fines. The commission has a statute that it's required to enforce. And I think it's a cheap shot to say, Just because my father's famous, I don't belong in my position, even though I've served longer than any commission in decades at the commission. If you don't believe the commission should have any right to draw limits, I think that's a respectable position, but it doesn't happen to be the law.
Well, Michael, it's not a cheap shot to say to you that your father got you your position, and I'll tell you why. The guys like me who came from nowhere, out of nothing, who worked their way up and committed themselves to broadcasting and a career in broadcasting have to answer to you. And it is in question as to how you got to where you got to. And let's face it, you got to the head of the FCC, you got to the front of the class the way George W. Bush got out of the draft. And it's completely fair for me to question, because you're the guy sitting there telling me I'm guilty of saying something and Oprah Winfrey isn't. And I wish you'd address that. You know,
we talked about Oprah, Howard. I brought it up.
But you know, there's one point I would make, you know, one point I would make, Howard, if I could.
But make the statement that you made originally, which was Oprah is a beloved figure and Howard Stern is not.
No, I don't know when I made that. I mean, I think Ron might have made that statement. I have never made such a statement. Indeed, my argument was we're going to enforce the things fairly regardless of the notoriety, the personality involved. I mean, the only thing that I would say, and I respect your opinion, it's just that you personalize it as if you're answering to me. You're answering to the commission if you're answering to anybody. All of these fines are voted by 5 members, Republicans and Democrats alike. They have been unanimous. The only dissents in these cases have been from the Democrats, who argued for even stricter fines and enforcement. So I don't mind having an honest debate about the role of the commission and indecency. I think as a public institution, we're responsible to do that. But I don't think I have been personally the one that you're answering to.
Of course you are. Listen, Michael, if I was a friend of George W. Bush, you know he'll give you the word and you'll back off from me. We can't.
Well, give him a chance to say no if that's the case.
I think that's just ridiculous. I mean,
why
it's easy to.
Oprah Winfrey then.
That case is still at the commission. That case is still at the commission. I mean, if we don't, then you can ask that question. But until we resolve it, I don't think it's fair to ask that question. And to be perfectly honest, you know, I've been chairman for almost 4 years. I think we've had fines against your station twice. And I don't think that, you know, we have made any particular crusade of the Howard Stern Show or you.
Yeah, okay, Michael. That's why I've received the largest fines in history, and I've said the exact identical thing that Oprah Winfrey said, and you said she's beloved and I'm not.
We have not. You could hold yourself to at least the same standard
right,
you insist
I'm
upon
let
on
these
us.
You guys fight it out.
You know, I never
time.
Have said what you suggested.
Howard, I got some bills to pay. I'm thrilled you called.
Ron, wait a second.
Yeah.
Let me say one last thing.
Yeah.
I invite Michael onto my show, which he won't come on. Number two, I've been respectful. I hope there's no retribution as a result of my phone call, which I believe Michael's capable of. I've been the victim of it. You can call me crazy. You can call me nuts. Michael knows what I'm talking about. I've been slammed. I've been not allowed to go to court over this thing and prove my innocence in this. I don't think a court would have found me indecent at all. I'm not here to set up the commissioner. I called him because a friend of mine told me 2 hours ago that Michael Powell was going to be there. And there's about 10 zillion questions I'd like to ask, and maybe you'll ask this after I get off the phone. Janet Jackson, do you really think...
We talked about it. Next question.
What do you mean, next question?
Because I asked him about Janet Jackson, pointing out the absurdity that if you're going to get upset about anything, it's the ripping off of the bra. What's the big deal with the nipple?
But not only that, why would you blame Viacom for Janet Jackson going up there ripping off her shirt during a live event and then not fine people for using the S word and the F word during live events? What's the difference? Will you really think Les Moonves sat in a room and conspired with Janet?
Could I answer part of that?
Yeah, answer it. And Howard, honestly, I got
to
go.
But you have to go, Ron?
Because they're paying for this thing. I've already cut out one commercial cluster. I've already paid one commercial cluster.
More important than this, Ron. You're
all right, go ahead. Ask. Let him answer the question.
Well,
then.
Just two quick things. I mean, I don't think we've been inconsistent. He says we didn't do we do Janet Jackson, but we let people say the F word. I mean, one of the most controversial fines this year is for Bono's use of the F word on the station. So I think we have been consistent across that line. But the other thing is, what the order found in Viacom. Viacom is a big media conglomerate, and it includes MTV that developed and produced the programming. And it was our conclusion after investigating that it was not just a sort of passive.
Do you know what gets me on that one, though? You take Channel 5 down the street, and we're ABC, they're CBS. Now, they wind up getting I think it was 27-5.
Not in the Janet Jackson. See, that's a perfect example. In the Janet Jackson case, we did not fine the affiliates. We only fined the stations that are owned and operated by Viacom.
Yeah, but I think they are. I think Channel 5 is a CBS O&O, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Now, how did they have nothing to do with that?
No, it's not about the O&O. It's about the parent company.
So it's the only way to get at the parent company.
Basically, that's how we calculate the fines by the parent company, but the parent company is responsible.
Michael, I know I'm going to get cut off, so listen, absolutely, I don't take this personally. I don't think that you personally hate me. I think what you've been doing is dangerous to free speech. I don't think just against me. I think things have gotten way out of control. I am not personally vindictive. I'm happy to be going to satellite radio and Sirius. I welcome the move. I think it's a sad day, though, when people are, you know, when the marketplace no longer determines what is indecent. I think there's a tremendous hypocrisy that you allow late at night on the radio with teenagers calling in on love lines talking about blatant sexual acts. There's a complete double standard here when it comes to me in morning radio, when it's probably the only time of day that parents listen with their children, 6 to 10 in the morning. I think there's a lot of inconsistencies, and I'm going to ask you, while you're still in office, and who knows, Bush will probably win, so you'll be there for a while.
All right. On that note, Howard, do let me go.
You know what, Ron? Take a good look at this with the commissioner. Ask him about the $1 billion in computer equipment, and he knows what they're talking about. And good luck to Michael Powell, and good luck to all of you.
All right.
Thank you, Howard. Good to talk to you.
Appreciate the call. What do you say?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think Howard has an argument, but his argument is that there should be no limits on what he's able to do on the radio. If there are going to be limits, someone's going to have to define them, and someone's going to have to enforce them.
He's kind of the poster child, though. I mean, truth is, you go to any major market, and there's going to be some morning zoo that's even worse.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that while Howard sort of, because of the notoriety that he engenders as one of the most preeminent shock jocks in the business, and the fines that he's had in the past sort of becomes the face of this. But some of the most significant fines and the most egregious stuff has not been on Howard's show or been against him.
But what does get to me is what I mentioned about Channel 5. I mean, why they should be fined when, I mean, they didn't even know. I mean, they're just running the thing and they get fined. That seems unfair.
Well, I think that it would be unfair except for they're not just a station. They're owned by the company that did have the choices. I mean, part of what a responsible authority does is it balances and it mitigates its remedies unique to the facts of the circumstances. The difference here in the CBS case is CBS is owned by Viacom, who owns many of the components that developed, produced, and ran the halftime show, and that's what we held them responsible.
Just promise me one thing. We're not going to have Up With People during the Super Bowl. Please. Gail Alexander, standing by with traffic. What's up?
San Leandro, southbound at 80 at Marina Boulevard. Major injury crash involving an overturned big rig blocking the two right lanes. Crews are busy offloading the cargo, which is a lot of spilt milk in the roadway. Traffic is backed up both directions of 880. Big rigs are being allowed to use eastbound 580. In Castro Valley on eastbound 580 before Crow Canyon Road, we have an accident in the left lane. In Hayward, southbound 880 before A Street, an injury crash involving four vehicles on the shoulder. Milpitas, Montague Expressway at Milpitas Boulevard, an accident in the left lane. We're not sure which direction of Montague Expressway. We're waiting to find out. In Redwood City, northbound 101 just south of Whipple Avenue, a two-car crash in the left lane. Menlo Park, Willow Road on-ramp to southbound 101, an accident on the shoulder involving two vehicles. Redwood City, northbound 101 at Woodside Road, a six-car crash on the shoulder. Dumbarton Bridge, westbound after the toll plaza, two vehicle crash blocking the two left lanes. At the Bay Bridge toll plaza, the metering lights are on. There's a high wind advisory on the span. Traffic's backed up into the maze. At the Carquinez Bridge, we have a high winds advisory in effect. This report is sponsored by Long's Drug Stores. For 66 years, the pharmacists of Long's Drugs have been keeping customers healthy and happy. Call 1-800-2-LONGS for the store nearest you. With the Bay Area's best traffic coverage, I'm Gail Alexander, KGO Radio News.
It is 9:55. Back to our phones. Gerald, calling from Oakland, the chairman of the FCC, Michael Powell. Good morning.
Yes.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, I'd just like to thank Michael Powell for coming on the show. And
No, you're listening to yourself there. That's not going to work too well. I'm sorry. Let's try Doug. Doug is calling from Santa Cruz. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Ron, and good morning, Mr. Powell.
Good morning.
Two quick questions. One, who does have jurisdiction over commercial content, and do you see a return to the equal time rule?
Oh, good questions. The Federal Trade Commission is ultimately responsible for commercial advertisement, but they also are very constrained by First Amendment limitations on the actual content of the program. Most people don't realize, I think there's lore that the FCC regulates content. Really, it only has a very narrow area in which it has very specific enforcement authority, and that is in this indecency area. So a lot of times we get complaints about how can this be on television or shouldn't that be on television. And a lot of that we really don't have all that much authority to speak to. And I think that's, frankly, as it should be. I mean, I do believe, we may have different perspectives about how much, but I do believe the marketplace and the editorial judgments of private producers in the market is the best place for the to make decisions about what the public sees.
Steve is in Fairfield. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Hi. Chairman, I want to get back real quick to the consolidation question.
Sure.
For instance, as I'm driving to work, the majority of the billboards I see are owned by Clear Channel.
Yeah.
I understand that about 75% of the concert venues are owned by Clear Channel, and I don't know if it's the majority of broadcast radio stations, but a significant number. At what point, what's the tipping point where you look at that and say, well, monopoly?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's not a short answer to that, and that's what we get paid to do. It is actually very hard. I mean, because I think we all know that we don't mean complete diversity, meaning we understand that you can't have a media environment in which every single individual station was owned by a separate person, that there's some level of aggregation that we find acceptable and economically necessary. But we also believe that there's some point in which it's so concentrated that it has kind of negative effects that are of concern to us. I mean, one of the tough controversial areas the FCC tries to struggle with is where you draw that line. And I think that it's particularly special in the area of media, where we understand that the role of content and messages in our society is more important than soap or food items or car sales and antitrust, which would normally take care of this in American society, that there's an added concern about diversity and messages. And, you know, all I can tell you is we spend an exhaustive amount of energy, time, and record development to try to find where that line is, and it's usually the product of our best judgment based on that evaluation.
One more minute, and in that minute, go back to the idea of cable and satellite. There's not going to be any attempt to regulate content there,
well,
is there?
Well, not by me. I don't actually.
What about the other commissioners?
Well, without naming names, I mean, there have been a number of commissioners who've openly suggested that, but I don't believe, but I think what they would admit is that under the current law, they couldn't do it without an act of Congress. And I personally believe not only is it wrong to do so, it would very likely be unconstitutional to do so.
Well, I mean, it makes no sense, because if you're going to go out and spend money for particularly HBO or Showtime or satellite radio or something like that, if you're going to spend that money, that's a conscious decision that you have made.
It's a conscious decision, and that's the way the Supreme Court views it. That the real reason there are differences between cable, satellite, and broadcasting is that the Supreme Court says that the First Amendment is stronger bulwark in those pay mediums for the reason you just outlined, whereas in the free over-the-air medium, in which it's the public airwaves, it scares the consumers, may just turn on a program without prior consent, the court says, well, the government has a slightly stronger interest there.
All right, and Lisa, run the tape on this one. Say it again. You'll join me at CES.
If I'm there, I'll join you.
If you're there, well, you got to be. You're a gadget guy.
I'll be there.
Michael Powell, chairman of the FCC. Coming up next, what better in an election year? Chairman of the California Democratic Party, chairman of the California Republican Party. Let them go at it. I'm Ron Owens, KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, heading towards 10 o'clock and time for ABC News.
From ABC News.
I'm Sherry Preston. The election 1 week from today, and both presidential candidates are campaigning right up until the end. ABC's Ann Compton joins us live with President Bush. He's in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Ann?
More livestock than voters in these parts, Sherry. After stopping at a dairy farm just down the road from this sports center, the president is now making a direct appeal to Democrats, especially ones who share conservative economic and social values. Tomorrow he takes this same message into Democratic cities, Youngstown, Ohio, and Detroit, Michigan. Sherry?
ABC's Ann Compton live. Senator Kerry's also in Wisconsin, Green Bay, talking about the war in Iraq.
Vice President Cheney called the Iraq War a remarkable success story. Ladies and gentlemen, they don't see it. They don't get it, and they can't fix it.
More than 70,000 people have already voted in Broward County, Florida today. ABC's Andrew Colton became one of them. He joins us live. Andrew, any problems?
Actually, no, Sherry, unless you count the line. I showed up 45 minutes after polls opened this morning and was already 124th in line. The wait was about an hour. Once it was my turn, the touchscreen machine worked flawlessly, and the poll workers seemed very well trained. Sherry?
ABC's Andrew Colton live from Miami. The NTSB has determined that the November 2001 crash of an American Airlines jet in New York in a neighborhood was caused by pilot error. Safety officials say the co-pilot's aggressive rudder movements made the tail of the plane snap off. 265 people on board that plane were killed in the crash. And you thought Congress was bad. There was a big fight in Taiwan's parliament this week. Actually, it was a food fight. A couple of legislators on opposite sides of an arms budget started shouting and throwing takeout boxes of chicken and rice at each other. It's pretty common to see fights in Taiwan's government proceedings. Lawmakers are also known to punch each other from time to time. Dow's up 92 points, and you're listening to ABC News.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain Relief as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol arthritis pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use as directed.
Want to get to the next level of your career?
Earn a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix. It's college designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn your degree in 2 to 3 years. At over 140 campuses, they offer programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix at 1-800-853-4433. Offer not valid in Tennessee or Nevada. Programs vary by campus. That's 1-800-853-4433.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is out with its first crash test and rollover numbers for those new 2005 cars.
An SUV was the big winner in front and side impact crash tests. The Subaru Outback got the top rating of 5 stars for all seat positions. The Chrysler 300 and its body double, Dodge Magnum, received the highest scores for passenger cars. On rollover tests of pickups, top scores went to the Chevy Colorado and the Dodge Ram 1500. At the bottom, the four-wheel drive Ford Ranger and Mazda B-Series.
ABC's Pam Coulter. The FCC has approved the merger of Cingular and AT&T Wireless. The deal paves the way for the creation of the country's largest cell phone company. Both agencies attach conditions to ensure there's adequate competition in different markets. Well, it's happened to all of us. We're in a restaurant, on a bus, or just walking down the street, and somebody's cell phone rings. Ever wonder what the best rings are? Billboard magazine has picked its favorites.
It started simply enough, but the cell phone ring began to evolve into song. Now it's hard to tell whether it's the phone or the radio. All the while, those ringtones made money, and that, according to USA Today, got Billboard's attention. Beginning next month, look for the top 20 ringtones chart. Number one with a bullet. Yep, that's a ringtone, too. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
In 1993, popular science called the original wave radio a sonic marvel. Now, Bose has engineered it to a whole new standard. Introducing the new Bose Wave Music System. It reproduces one-half octave lower musical notes and has even greater instrument clarity. The elegant new design has no buttons. A small remote now controls all functions. So call 1-800-611-1617 to order yours today. It comes with a 30-day risk-free trial and shipping is free. That's 1-800-611-1617.
Sherry Preston, ABC News. KGO Radio News Time, 10:05. Good morning. I'm Chris Brecher, and here's what's happening around the Bay Area. Mayor Gavin Newsom talking tough on the city's hotel strike. Workers walked out for 2 weeks. Now they've been locked out for 2 weeks.
Fair's fair. As far as I'm concerned, you're even. Now let's all grow up, get back to work, and negotiate.
He's proposed a 90-day cooling-off period during which everyone goes back to work and negotiations continue. If the hotels do not agree by 2 o'clock this afternoon, Newsom says he will walk the picket line himself. Also cut back on city services to the hotels and begin a city boycott of the affected hotels. The Richmond man yesterday called a suspect in the death of his girlfriend's baby. Today is called a witness only. Police will not say why they changed their minds, but they do say this is still a homicide case. Three suspects